What's up? It's Marvin of the Miles Ahead podcast. And for today, I'm going to be giving my perspective on the NFL. Some of the topics I'm going to be touching on, it's going to be based on the review of the AFC and AFC Conference Championship games, penalty excuses, the first two black quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. Does Patrick Mahomes have the chance to be considered the greatest at his position, Jalen Hurts' redemption story, and Sean Payton being hired as the Broncos head coach? So those are the topics I'm going to be talking about. But first, I want to tell you guys the reason why I didn't want to give a review of the divisional round is basically because everything I said in the divisional round games and things of that nature pertaining to my predictions and stuff like that, it all came to life. Okay, from what I said about Dak Prescott to what I said about Josh Allen. So everything I said came to life, including Trevor Lawrence and all those types of situations. So everything I said was picture perfect in that podcast, which is why I'm not going to give a review on the divisional round. Okay? But what you guys can do is you guys can put the like, comment, and subscribe into the podcast, show your support. And right now, we're just going to just dive into the episode. So, for the first topic that we're going to be touching on, it's going to be the AFC Championship game review. Okay? That was like the most entertaining battle out of both championship conference finals. So basically, what happened with this situation was it was Bengals versus the Chiefs. Okay. It ended up being a 3-point game again. Okay. The Chiefs, they won on a nail biter. Okay. And, you know, they were dealing with a lot of injuries in this game. Okay, you got Patrick Mahomes, who was hurt. Okay, and he put on a great performance. A great performance. The only thing that you could talk about that happened that was bad was really the fumble. Okay, if he would have never fumbled that situation, he either would have came away with 3 points or they would have scored a touchdown. But the momentum was there, and it was clearly there. And to me, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, you know, he's just had a great year all the way around when it came to, you know, him throwing checkdowns and him knowing when to throw the football down the field and things of that nature. So he's just been great, and he's going to get the MVP this year, which, you know, he definitely deserves that. But at the same time, when it comes to this game, he just came up clutch. Nothing you could really say about it. Okay? I mean, he had 326 yards, two TDs, and an over 105 passer rating. Okay, he was on fire today. Not only that, I mean, he also completed 29 passes. Not to mention, you know, they also had the receivers who went out during this game. They had three key starter receivers in Juju Smith-Schuster. They also had Mecole Hardman, who is a very key contributor when it comes to their games and things of that nature. Patrick Mahomes, he always looks for him to make big plays, and he does that. And, you know, he can only play about two snaps, and then next thing you know, he's out of there. Okay? And they ended up getting another injury issue with another receiver by Kadarius Toney. Okay? He had been showing that he's a very good player throughout this whole season, and then next thing you know, he ends up getting injured at some point within the game, okay? But at the end of the day, you know, Travis Kelce, he showed up as well. Okay, he had about 78 yards in receiving, and he also had one touchdown that was very key. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, yo, he had himself a night, okay? When all those receivers were down and things of that nature, he ended up having to depend on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. MVS came up big in this postseason, okay? He had 119 yards on six receptions. Not only that, he also had a touchdown as well, okay, which was a very key touchdown. And not to mention, that first down was huge. Okay, if he did not get that first down, or to tell you the truth, if Andy Reid did not challenge that first down, then essentially it's like, the momentum is sliding with the defense of the Bengals. Okay. And when it came to the defensive side of the football, I mean, not only did they miss three receivers in this game, they ended up having a cornerback who was having an issue. Okay. He ended up having a concussion in the game, and he ended up being out for the rest of the game as well. One of their best linebackers was out in Willie Gay. He was having himself a good game. And then Travis Kelce, he was banged up also. Coming into this game, I believe he was going through some back issues, and basically it had gotten re-aggravated in the previous game against the Jaguars. Okay. And then you have Patrick Mahomes, who was hurt as well. So again, like, he's doing all of this stuff on essentially one leg, scrambling in the pocket, getting first downs. Okay. And he's still knifing through the defense with his arm. What more can you say about him? What more can you say? You just got to accept the greatness at where it is. Okay. And the defense, they shut down the Bengals. They really did. Especially with the run game. I mean, Joe Mixon, he had 8 carries for 19 yards. Now, I thought originally that he was going to be the huge deciding factor in this game, and he ended up turning into an ant. The Chiefs defensive linemen, they was just the ant eaters. That's exactly what happened. But P-Ron, 5 for 22 yards. Okay. I mean, I believe their leading rusher was Joe Burrow. And Joe Burrow, I mean, he was pressured all over the place. I mean, he had to throw the ball away multiple times. And to me, I think that this was easily Joe Burrow's worst game outside of the Super Bowl that he played in last season. The trash talk, in my opinion, really did end up catching up to the Bengals. And even though Joe Burrow wasn't doing the trash talk himself, he still was a part of the problem. Okay. He didn't tell anybody to stop. Okay, this can motivate the team that we're going up against. He didn't do that. Now, I get it because he's young, but the mayor also contributed. He said that Joe Burrow is Patrick Mahomes' father. I can understand if he did that after the game, okay? But at the end of the day, that's still extremely disrespectful. He took it way too far in terms of his trash talk. I mean, that's not something that you say about a football player, all right? And we all know who Patrick Mahomes' father is. I mean, maybe that's why he said it. But at the end of the day, when it comes to Joe Burrow, I feel like he, even though that he wasn't the guy who was mainly trash talking throughout the situation, it didn't help that his teammates were all doing the same thing, okay? They were all trash talking, including Eli Apple, who hasn't been able to live up to anything in the postseason, okay? As a matter of fact, he got cooked by Cooper Kupp, right? And in this game, he was getting cooked by MVS. He was. So, and he was already lighting a cigar before the game even started. A week before the game started, and you're already doing that level of celebration just for beating the Bills, who I actually predicted that they were going to beat. Or one of the clear reason why that the Chiefs ended up winning this game was exactly in my predictions. Okay? Now, I was wrong about who I picked to win, but I was right when it came to their defense stepping up. I felt like the only way that they're going to be able to get this victory is if the defense of the Chiefs, their front four, shows up and they get to the quarterback. They pressure the Bengals and they end up getting in Joe Burrow's face, maybe getting him to throw a couple of turnovers, and he did that in this game. He did exactly that. Okay? And Chris Jones, he had himself a takeover game. Okay? I mean, they could not go anywhere with the run at all. And then on top of that, the other thing is they were able to get to the quarterback. They were. I mean, as a whole, the team, they got five sacks. Five sacks. And they were able to get two interceptions. Now, Joe Burrow, I'm not going to lie, he definitely had me on a run in terms of, you know, me feeling like they're going to score within the last 2 minutes of the game. They had two whole minutes to score, and they did it. They did not come up clutch within the situation, okay? And when it came to the interception before that, before the 2 minutes that they had in the fourth quarter, it was a third and three. Okay? A third and three. And Joe Burrow, he decided to take a deep shot to Higgins, which ended up getting tipped up. And it ended up being intercepted. But the thing is that Joe Burrow, he probably should have taken a check down during that time. That's what he probably should have did. Okay? Now, do I all of a sudden believe that this is a rivalry? Yes, I do. But it's a team rivalry. Okay? It's not Joe Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes. It's not. Patrick Mahomes, he's accomplished way too much. Okay? He's about to get his second MVP. What has Joe Burrow done in the regular season? Again, we can't call Joe Burrow Joe Cool until he wins himself a Super Bowl. And to me, I don't even think that he even deserves that name at all. He doesn't. Now, he's a great player. I would definitely say that he's the second best quarterback in the league. I will not take that away from him. But at the end of the day, he didn't deliver. He didn't. Okay? And if you look at their fourth quarter stats as a team throughout their whole playoff existence, it has not been great. It hasn't. Okay? They barely score in the fourth quarter. Okay? Now, they do their damage in the third quarter, in the second quarter, and in the first quarter. But when it's time to come up clutch, they don't do it. Okay? So that's what happened in this game. Chris Jones had a takeover. Patrick Mahomes had a takeover. They both were able to show their value on this team, and they both came up clutch on this team. And not only that, I mean, of course, you know, the Bengals' offensive line was an issue and stuff like that, but stop making excuses for Joe Burrow. Okay, that's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing excuses for him. It's not like Joe Burrow had to go through the same type of offensive line that Patrick Mahomes had to deal with in 2019 against the Buccaneers. Nowhere near the same at all. Patrick Mahomes, he was running for his life in that game. Joe Burrow, sometimes he just didn't throw the ball quick enough. Okay? Sometimes he will hold it for that extra second. And sometimes he would decide not to take the check down and just take a sack. Okay? So that's what happened in this game. The first interception, that was a bad interception because the corner, he jumped that route. He did. And you would think that Joe Burrow would see that happen, but he didn't. But he didn't during that time. So, I mean, like I said, Joe Burrow, he's a great player, but to me, I feel like it definitely needs to be proven a lot more. As far as it being a rivalry, it's more of a team rivalry, more than it is a player to player rivalry between Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow. Okay, because if you compare players, it's not close. All right, Patrick Mahomes, he's been to the Super Bowl 3 out of the past 5 years. Not close. So that's it on my perspective on the Chiefs versus the Bengals. Like I said, it was a great game, awesome game. But guess what? I'm going to move on to the Eagles versus the 49ers. Okay. This game, it wasn't really entertaining, man. It really wasn't. It really was kind of a domination on the Eagles front. Okay. Their front four, they was getting to the quarterback. They were able to force two quarterbacks to be out injured. That's how well they were playing defensively. And, you know, I think that everything was, you know, downhill as soon as Brock Purdy went out. You know, they had nothing else to do with it. The next thing you know, their next quarterback went out in a replacement, and he was just terrible for his time even being there. Probably didn't get any snaps throughout the whole season. So to me, I felt like this game mostly had to do with the defense of the Eagles and also the quarterbacks being out as well. So there were two fumbles that happened in this game. And as far as the offensive end, there was a touchdown that should not have been a touchdown for the Eagles, right? Because Devontae Smith, he dropped that pass, right? Other than that, I want to say they pretty much ran the football very well. Jalen Hurts, he threw the football okay, but at the end of the day, he didn't put the team in any harm's way in terms of turning the football over. But he did not have a great game in terms of throwing the football. I believe that that's mostly due to his shoulder injury. But at the same time, he still managed the ball very well. He threw it when he needed to throw it, and he ran the football when he needed to run the football. The team as a whole, they all rushed for 150 yards as a team. So that was just unstoppable as a team. So to me, you know, this team, you know, they did dominate the 49ers. Okay. Now, as far as the 49ers and what they're going to do in the future when it comes to their quarterback situation, I believe that they should probably start Brock Purdy. But again, it's going to be a lot of, you know, factors that's going to go in. You know, will Brock Purdy be able to come back in time? I mean, he does have a torn UCL, so that's not good at all. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the progression of Brock Purdy. And to me, I mean, I felt like if he would have played during this game, I actually felt like they probably would have won this game. But at the same time, you know, he didn't play the whole game. And that's actually kind of due to Kyle Shanahan. Because Kyle Shanahan, he didn't challenge the play with Devontae Smith. And because he didn't challenge that, next thing you know, later on, that situation happened. When it came to the situation with Brock Purdy where he got injured. Okay? Maybe that doesn't happen if he challenged to play with Devontae Smith. But now he lost the quarterback. Okay? So, and to me, even with the replacement quarterback, from what I saw when I was watching him play, he just looked startled. Okay? It was no poise with him. It was none of that. So, they was just going to lose the game, period. But as far as the Eagles, they dominated defensively and offensively. And, you know, this team and the 49ers, you know, they really didn't have anything for the Eagles offensively because of their injuries. But not only that, because of their penalties on the defensive end. It was terrible. Okay, that's really what cost the 49ers more than anything. They couldn't not get a penalty. Every time it was a penalty flag being blown. So that's exactly what happened in this game. So the next thing I'm going to move on to is the penalty talk. Okay, so essentially what I was hearing during the time of the AFC title game was it was rigged. That's what I was hearing. When the truth of the matter is, was the penalties that happened in this game really didn't cost the Bengals anything when it came to losing the game at all. Okay, except for maybe the last play of the game when it came to Joseph Osai pushing Patrick Mahomes more, even though that he was out of bounds. That was the thing that mostly cost the Bengals, right? But again, the Bengals, they had 6 minutes, okay, to throw a touchdown. Joe Burrow, he threw an interception, okay? And then the next thing that he did was he did an intentional grounding situation, right? And I want to say they still got the first down. Right. But at the end of the day, they were not able to close the deal. They had 2 minutes. 2 minutes. They didn't close the deal. Joe Burrow, instead of throwing check down sometimes, he would decide to throw the deep shot. I get that you want to give your receivers a chance, but at the same time, he was doing too much with throwing deep shots. Okay? And when it came to their receivers, neither one of those players, when it came to Higgins and Chase, neither one of those players had over 90-plus yards of receiving in this game. Only one of them had a touchdown. So essentially, they were on lockdown. Okay? But the penalties that happened in the third quarter, right? I believe that they was having an issue with the time clock situation. Now, that was understandable for why the ref decided to come on the field to call off the play. But at the end of the day, you know, they still replayed that situation for third down. And the next thing that happened was the Chiefs, they still ended up punting. Where is the capital? Okay. The Bengals, they were supposed to capitalize on that situation. They didn't. They didn't come up clutch. After the Chiefs punted, they didn't score. Still. It was still 20-20 going into the situation. Right? So, again, where's the accountability on the Bengals? Okay? You basically got all day from 6 minutes to 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. What happened? You didn't score. Okay? And again, you can't blame all of this on Joseph's side. You can't. You can't. Because at the end of the day, yes, he played great all the way up into this play. And yes, it was a dumb play on his part. Of course it was. It definitely was idiotic. But at the end of the day, there was still a bunch of opportunities for them to take the lead. It was. And they did it. So as far as the penalties with this game, to me, I don't really believe that it affected the game that much to the point where, you know, somebody could say it's rigged. Okay? It's just the facts. It did it. All right? Now again, Joe Burrow, I probably would say one of the penalties that he could have gotten was a roughing the passer. Okay? All right? That's maybe one of the penalties that he probably deserved. But all of the other situations, they deserve those penalties. All of them. Okay? Just coach a more disciplined team. When it comes to their coach, Zach Taylor. All right? But at the end of the day, like, it was a great game overall. Okay, very entertaining. Patrick Mahomes, he closed the show in the end, and he did his thing. Now, for that last penalty, yes, there was some Oscar-worthy, you know, acting, some Oscar-worthy performance, some Denzel, some Will Smith. When in that situation out of bounds, it definitely was hilarious. Okay, I called it at the time at the sports bar. I thought it was hilarious, but hey, it worked. But at the same time, still was the wrong play, wrong time, wrong all of that. All right? Now, if anything, Patrick Mahomes, he has done this type of stuff before when it comes to being clutch. Okay, last year, he was able to get his team within field goal range in 13 seconds, okay? Even if the Joseph Osai situation didn't happen, right? Who's to say that they will not still end up getting in field goal range? They got 8 seconds. Patrick Mahomes, he's done it in 13, okay? I mean, they were already in field goal range with 8 seconds left. It was a 60 yarder. Now, I'm not so sure that their kicker and bunker would have been able to hit that in, but they were still in field goal range. I believe they still would have tried it. Okay. But at the end of the day, right, we can't count out Patrick Mahomes even during that time of 8 seconds. Okay. They could have drawn up something for Travis Kelce or MVS. Okay. So again, you know, it was a huge game. Okay. Not to mention you got Sky Moore who played big. You also got their special teams guy who ended up catching a pass from Patrick Mahomes for 13 yards. Okay. He had more tackles in special teams than he had in catching the football. And he ended up catching a very key first down, okay, which was very pivotal during that moment. Okay? So give Patrick Mahomes his credit for the situation, but you also got to give the credit to Chris Jones in that defense as well. So that's what happened for this game when it came to the penalties. Now, as for the Eagles and the 49ers situation, right, the only situation that was kind of, you know, questionable, in my opinion, for this game was the Devontae Smith situation when that was not a catch and that ended up getting them a touchdown, okay? Kyle Shanahan, he didn't challenge that. If he had to challenge that, maybe they would still have Brock Purdy during the situation. But he did it, okay? Now, that is an error on Kyle Shanahan's part. But at the end of the day, when it came to the whole game as a whole, it really wasn't the Eagles who were having issues with their penalties. It was more so the 49ers on defense, okay? I mean, they were getting offsides this. Offsides that. A PIT there. Okay, like it was just bad. So to me, I just think that I think it was more so the 49ers with their penalties. And once they lost Brock Purdy, everything went out the window when it came to their chemistry. So that's my perspective on the penalties situation. So for the next topic I'm going to get my perspective on, it's going to be about two black quarterbacks being in the Super Bowl for the first time. Okay, this is very special. We got Patrick Mahomes, and we have Jalen Hurts. Okay, now there's only been three black Super there's only been three black quarterbacks to ever win a Super Bowl. Okay, we got Russell Wilson, we got Doug Williams, we got Patrick Mahomes. Those are the three who have ever won a Super Bowl. Okay, this is huge. This is special. And, you know, we get to show off our talent as usual. I mean, we always do it when it comes to all of the other types of situations, when it comes to being a defensive player or when it comes to being a receiver or a running back. But for this situation, you know, back in the day, they used to, you know, say that there's no way that we could play that position because mentally we weren't there when it came to those types of situations on the field. There's no way that our IQ is great enough to be able to play that position. Okay. Now, ever since Doug Williams has won a Super Bowl, I mean, he already proved that wrong. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's been backup quarterbacks. There's been starting quarterbacks. I believe that there's been about 11 to 12 quarterbacks who have started this season in games. You know what I'm saying? So that's just been, it's just been great to see that. And as far as the Super Bowl, I think it's going to be very special. I mean, we got Patrick Mahomes, you know, who basically he plays great, has a lot of swag to his game. And then you got Jalen Hurts. I mean, he plays great as well. I mean, they're both MVP candidates this year. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is going to come away with the MVP. And he's definitely going to deserve it. But Jalen Hurts, he's had a great year. And, I mean, I just think it's going to be a great Super Bowl. And I'm excited to see who comes out on top. I don't even care about who wins this game at all. I'm not going to make my predictions right now, though. But I think it's going to be a great game. For sure. So, I just think that this is awesome to see. And if anybody wants to question if, you know, Patrick Mahomes is black and things of that nature, just because of the way that he talks, which is kind of weird because all Patrick Mahomes does is to speak proper. That's normally what I do on this podcast. So you guys gonna call me white? No, you're not. But at the end of the day, Patrick Mahomes, his father is so-called black, right? You cannot pass down a seed as a woman. You just can't. Okay, a woman cannot pass down seed and, you know, that person end up being what they are. They can't. Okay, you can't pass down a race through the woman. Okay, now through the father, you can. Okay, the father, they pass down their seed, and that's exactly who their son is. So that's for anybody who tries to deny what kind of person Patrick Mahomes is. That is, you know, father, son, okay? Now, Patrick Mahomes, he just had a son, okay? And basically, he also has a daughter as well. But at the end of the day, only the father can pass down the seed of who that person is, okay? And Patrick Mahomes, he plays with a lot of swag in his game. So I would not question at all, you know, if he was black or not, okay? You can't turn around and say that he's not black just because he speaks proper on a regular basis and he doesn't use the N-word. Bro, You guys know how long did I go without saying the N-word? I go a very long time. Okay. All right. So just putting that out there, just in case anybody wants to get stupid for whatever reason. And as for Jalen Hurts, obviously, yeah, he's black, but he's had a great redemption. He's had a great redemption story. I'm going to speak on that later, but as for the situation, I mean, this is very special. I mean, like I said, we get to see two black quarterbacks go at it, and I think it's going to be an awesome Super Bowl. And I'm excited to see what happens. Definitely want to see both of them win. Hopefully, if Patrick Mahomes loses, he'll be back next year, and then he'll be able to get a Super Bowl. Or if Jalen Hurts, loses, they'll be able to get a Super Bowl sometime within their career. So, like I said, it's come full circle. As for everybody else who has been black and, been able to get to, high heights within the NFL, you got Michael Vick, you got Cam Newton, you got Lamar Jackson. Shout out to them. Okay, they were able to get there and play at the highest levels and, show how good they are within their league. And, they were able to show off their talent and stuff like that. And I mean, it's just awesome. Okay, it's awesome to see. And so for the next thing I'm going to talk about is, will Patrick Mahomes end up being considered the greatest football player at his position, or even the greatest player of all time? Now, as far as him being the greatest player of all time, I feel like that could end up being the case when it's all said and done. Somebody could definitely make the case for that. But at the end of the day, when it comes to him being the greatest at his position, listen, when it comes to the wow factor and the dynamics and the entertainment, okay? Football is an entertainment league, just like the NBA, okay? He brings that, okay? He brings that factor, especially when it comes to his clutch performances, and not only that, his leadership capabilities. He brings all that into one in combination with the swag that he comes in there and he plays with. Okay. Not only that, he also has the numbers to back it up, which is just hard to refute. Now, to me, do I think that he's the greatest of all time right now? No. But at the same time, he's definitely the greatest talent that I've seen at that position to ever play. It's not close there. Okay. It's not. Now, when it comes to Tom Brady, yes, he's definitely clutch. Okay. Same thing with Joe Montana. They have both done their thing. Both of them have both been great in the NFL. Nobody can take that away from them. But how entertaining is Tom Brady compared to even somebody of a Joe Montana? He's not that entertaining to watch. Most of the time, he just stands in the pocket all day. Now, I'm not going to say that he's never been entertaining. Yes, he has. And even to some degree, what he does in the pocket, it is entertaining. Okay. But again, he just doesn't have that wow factor that Patrick Mahomes has. Okay. Now, when it comes to Patrick Mahomes, does he need to have seven Super Bowls to be considered the greatest, to be considered the greatest of all time? No, he doesn't. He doesn't. To me, I think that Patrick Mahomes, he only needs four to five Super Bowls to be considered the greatest of all time. Okay, to me, I already think that he's better in the playoffs than Drew Brees, than Aaron Rodgers. Okay, like, it's hard to refute those things. Okay, it's been some duds in Drew Brees' career. It's been some duds in Aaron Rodgers' career. Okay, I already put him above Ben Roethlisberger. Okay. Now, let me just read off some of these numbers real quick so that I can just, tell you more about the reason why I believe that he does have an actual case to be considered one of the greatest of all time. Okay, at his position, especially when it's all said and done. Okay. So, among quarterbacks with 12 plus starts in the playoffs, right? He's first in passer rating, first in completions, first in yards per game, first in touchdowns, and first to touchdown to interception ratio. This is what he's done so far within his career with 12 plus starts in the playoffs. Okay. Peyton Manning, yes, he was great in the regular season. Okay. But as far as the playoffs, he wasn't. He wasn't. Okay. But when it comes to somebody like Patrick Mahomes, again, it's entertainment, dynamics. Okay. It's the swag, all that stuff. And then you also have the clutchness, the IQ, okay, the stats to all back that up. Okay. And again, he's not done. He's only 27. Okay. So, like I said, like to me, like I understand why people love Brady. Okay. But what we're seeing is amazing. Okay. And again, like, some of this trepidation is also because Patrick Mahomes is black. That's why some of this is a trepidation to some people. Okay. But again, have we seen somebody play like him before? No, we haven't. That's the same thing with Jordan. Okay. We had never seen anybody play like him before. Okay. We had never seen anybody play like him before, as good as he did, as great as he did in the playoffs. Okay. Now, what people need to stop doing is people, they need to stop comparing players to Michael Jordan. That's what people really need to stop doing. Okay. I get it because Michael Jordan, he is a Mount Rushmore athlete. He will never be forgotten. Okay. But what people should probably do, they should probably compare Patrick Mahomes to Jerry Rice. Okay. That's what they probably should do. Somebody who's considered the greatest at their position and also having the entertainment factor as well. Okay. Or like somebody with Deion Sanders. Okay. That's what they should be comparing Patrick Mahomes to. Okay. Or Joe Montana. All right. Just, you know what I'm saying? Now, when it comes to Michael Jordan, again, he had the swag. Okay. He had the abilities, he had the stats when it came to the finals and showing up. He had all of those things into one. Remember, he was the first guy to bring gold chains to making that popular in the league. Okay, him in the 80s when he was doing the dunk contest. Remember, he was the person who was having the shorts being below the knee instead of all the way up your thigh. Okay. Remember, he was the person who was making dunks cool. You know what I'm saying? And making isolation scoring cool as well. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, he was extremely marketable. Okay. So if you combine all that type of situation in one, and then you have the winning on top of that. I mean, he elevated his teammates so much to the point where they're still working. Okay. I mean, like you got players like, you know, BJ Armstrong, who's a who's a I think he's a scout or something like that, or I think that he manages players or something like that. You got mad role players who are still benefiting from that Bulls era, okay, which was actually populated by Michael Jordan. Okay, it was popular because of Michael Jordan, and there's players who still get jobs today, okay, off of that situation. Okay, I mean, if Scottie Pippen wanted to start a podcast right now, okay, he could get one. And I believe that there's a few former players that are on the Bulls broadcast right now. Okay, I think that John Paxson, he was a high person in the office. I think he was like, I think that he was an executive or something like that. But again, you know, that's why the people that should probably stop comparing him to Michael Jordan. Okay, they should not compare Tom Brady to Michael Jordan. They shouldn't compare anybody to Michael Jordan. Okay. Now, basically, like if there's like players within, you know, the top 10 and stuff like that, like top five players, like if somebody want to compare Magic Johnson to Michael Jordan, yeah, you can do that. If you want to compare Bill Russell to Michael Jordan, yeah, you can do that. But in terms of like what he was able to do all in one, I don't see why people should continue to compare somebody to Michael Jordan. I just don't think that anybody should do that anymore. But like I said, in terms of the wow factor of Patrick Mahomes, this is exactly why he should be able to be considered when he's all said and done. Even if he doesn't get the seven Super Bowls, say if he gets the four or five, he should be considered the greatest of all time because he already is one of the greatest quarterbacks that we've ever seen in terms of talent, swag, marketability, all that type of stuff. And when you combine all those things into one, when it comes to leadership, wins, there's nothing that you could deny. So that's my perspective when it comes to that. So for the next thing I'm going to talk about Jalen Hurts' redemption story. Okay. So Jalen Hurts, I mean, like, he had a very rough time in college. Okay. All right. He went 13-2 his first year. Right. And then after that, the next thing you know, in the championship game against Georgia, okay, he was going 3 for 8, I think, in the first quarter, right? And then the next thing you know, their coach, Nick Saban, replaced him with Tua. And then from there, Tua, I mean, he balled out. He did his thing. And Jalen Hurts, he was supportive and stuff like that. But the media, they bash the mess out of Jalen Hurts really badly. I mean, they went off on him. I mean, Stephen A. Smith, he just went crazy. Shannon Sharpe went crazy. I mean, and then also you got Skip Bayless. I mean, everybody, they all went off on Jalen Hurts for his performance that he had in the first quarter. Okay. But nobody they want to talk about what he was doing that whole season. He had a great season as a freshman. And then the next year they went 13-2 again. Okay. And I believe that Tua got injured this time. And I think Jalen Hurts, he ended up completing the game and he had a good game. Right. But, you know, he went 26-2 as a starter, I think. Or 26-4 as a starter. And he had a great 2 years there. You know, he went over to the Oklahoma Sooners. He reinvented himself. He cut off his dreads. Next thing you know, he ends up, working hard on his game in terms of throwing the football and stuff like that. And he ended up throwing darts to everybody in the college football space. And they ended up doing extremely well as a team. Okay. And then he gets drafted, not in the first round, but in the second round. Okay. And when he gets to the Eagles, he doesn't even start. Okay. So Jalen Hurts, I mean, he is an overcomer. Okay. He overcame a lot to get to where he is. And, that has to be commended. Okay. And he has great leadership qualities about him. The team rallies behind him. They believe in him. And he believes in them. He believes in his teammates. Okay. And basically, I mean, he has great running capabilities and he developed himself into a great pocket passer. I mean, he's a better pocket passer than Lamar Jackson is. He is. So to me, I mean, this is just great on Jalen Hurts' part. And now that he's in the Super Bowl and he has a chance to win it, shout out to him and shout out to his family. Okay. It's awesome to see him doing what he's doing right now. He had a great year, he had a great season, and now he's here and now he gets to show what he can do in the Super Bowl. So does Patrick Mahomes too, but again, this is just awesome to see both of these guys in the Super Bowl. We know Patrick Mahomes' story, but Jalen Hurts, I mean, he's been through a lot getting to where he is right now. And all props soon. Now for the next thing I'm going to talk about, I'm going to give my perspective on Sean Payton being the coach of the Broncos. Do I believe that this is a game changer? That this is huge for the Broncos? I do believe that this is huge for the Broncos, but do I see them getting far? Like going to the divisional or getting to the conference finals in the NFL? No, I do not see that happening. I do believe that they're going to get to the playoffs, though, for sure. Do I see them, being a division? Do I see them winning the division? I'm not so sure if I'm going to go that far, but I could definitely see them being in playoff contention for sure. Okay, Sean Payton, he's a good coach, but I do feel like he is overrated. Okay, I've seen, Drew Brees choking the clutch and stuff like that. I do feel like Russell Wilson, he's a far better athlete than Drew Brees ever was. I do feel like Sean Payton, he probably needs to give Russell Wilson the chance to freestyle a little bit in the offense and, make up some times when he wants to, come up off the rip and, go for yards or go for touchdowns, stuff like that. But otherwise, I can't really see them getting this far. I do feel like he's definitely going to be a far better head coach than obviously Nathaniel Hackett, who was terrible. Okay. And I do feel like he's definitely going to be an upgrade from Nathaniel Hackett. Okay, but do I see them getting far in the playoffs next season? No, I don't. Okay, they do have a great defense. I do feel like they definitely do need a great running game behind them. But at the end of the day, I think that Russell Wilson, I do believe that he's going to play a lot better because, again, when he was a player for the Seattle Seahawks, he had great passer ratings, he had great passing ability. Okay. He was great at throwing the football. He was leading the league in QBR for a while. So, again, he's still elite as a quarterback. But again, did he lose a step? Yes, he did. He did lose a step. Okay. But I do think that he's going to play a lot better next season. So that's my perspective on the Sean Payton hire. And that's it on my podcast. pertaining to the NFL. And I want to say have a great rest of your week and weekend. And remember, let's not be inches, feet, meters, nor yards. Let's be miles ahead. Have a good one.